Well, it's time for Industry Night, our weekly look at the world of food and hospitality. Last week, we talked with Chef Cletus Friedman about bringing fine dining to the lakefront. You can find all of our Industry Night convos at WGNradio.com. You can just search Industry Night tonight. Sustainable frozen seafood in Chicago's Wicker Park. Wickster Market has moved in, and instead of pitching the latest deals on shrimp or catch of the day, the marketing approach is to talk about trust and transparency. When it comes to seafood, the questions asked by consumers have shifted. Where the fish was caught is as important as how it was caught, how it was processed and packaged. Enter Wickster, which tells a story of where it gets its seafood on their site. You can not only follow the fish from catch to market, but you can learn more about where Wickster gets it from. And also, as importantly, learn more about how the seafood is frozen and packaged. Tinning is the big draw, the trend of 2018. This is something, and you know, think about it. I mean, frozen seafood has been something that has dogged the seafood industry for years. If the catch was fresh, it was the best it could be. But if it was frozen or canned or tinned, the seafood was automatically of a lower quality. That's changing, and Wickster's at the forefront. In studio tonight, Nick Simon, sales director at Wickster Market. Nick, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, I mean, let's start right there. I mean, why get in the game of frozen seafood? This is an area that has had customer questions for a long time. What is it about what you guys do that changes the game when it comes to frozen seafood?
Oh, yeah, with frozen, initially, way back when, I guess, we first started freezing seafood in this country, the leftovers were basically frozen, and those were then again sold to the public. That's not the case anymore. I think one thing that Wickster is really doing a fabulous job doing is taking and sourcing really fresh fish, and we're able to offer it to our customers locally, you know, with complete transparency.
Wasn't the idea, though, when it came to fresh seafood, that people wanted to see it on a bed of ice in the grocery? They wanted to see the fish. They wanted to know that it wasn't in can, because the old concept used to be that if it was frozen, it's already been on that bed of ice. So, you know, they did it to save the fish, or like you said, use the leftovers. So how do you sell to the consumer? How do you sell seafood that is already frozen?
Well, we rely on our regular customers and new customers, and word of mouth is really, really important for us at the store, and now with our distribution to restaurants and you know, other retail stores in Chicago. So I think it's really important, and it's great that we're here talking about frozen seafood in a town that you don't necessarily equate with seafood, right?
Yeah, right.
But really just getting it sustainably, which I think everybody is doing at this point. If you're fishing right now for seafood, it better be sustainable.
What does sustainable mean in that regard? When you say it better be sustainable,
yeah.
I mean, are we past the point of these kind of reckless, irresponsible commercial fisheries? Or is that still prominent? I mean, maybe there's a push against it. Maybe we've all signed you know, different petitions on Michigan Avenue. But the truth is that it's still a billion-dollar business.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of places that are not necessarily getting fish sustainably. And what I mean by sustainable is that not only do we fish sustainably, but we sell it sustainably. Essentially, there's no waste, right? So you can get a beautiful frozen fillet that's been vacuum sealed, is really safe, really fresher than a fresh piece of fish, especially in Chicago. But I think it's important that there's absolutely no waste once you get it in your consumer's hands.
Yeah.
So that is an important part of sustainable fishing.
I want to talk about the stories and a lot of stuff on the website, which is awesome, about trust and transparency and getting to know the fisheries and who you do business with. Before we do that, you mentioned about Chicago and Chicagoans kind of having a long-standing, I don't want to say history, but understanding of how seafood's done here, meaning it comes from the airport. We don't live near an ocean, and you want to get it. I remember the old adage was you didn't want to get fish in a restaurant on a Sunday or Monday, because that's when they get their shipments on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. That's completely changed with the advent of transportation and innovation and technology. When you get into the business of distribution and you're going against a lot of those distributors who have already have technological advancements and innovation, how do you fare? How do you compete with the fact that there are people coming in left and right from you know, airlines and airports and every which way that seafood is in a position where there's already big dogs distributing here in Chicago?
Well, that's the nature of the business for sure. we will compete with a lot of quote unquote fresh seafood. And like you were saying, like that's not necessarily a big problem anymore, like only getting fish on a Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it is. What we are able to do more successfully than I think anybody else that we are competing with is our relationships with our suppliers, our producers, our fishers in other countries, where they're friends. They're friends of Wickster Market, and they have been for the past several years. One of them in particular, just coming out of Norway, for example, it's called Hofseth, right? These guys have been farming fish for, I think, about 30 or 40 years. Like, they were pioneers of it. And based on our relationships with that company, for example, we're not only getting a better, higher quality piece of fish, but it's been done right by the people who have first done it.
How do you make sure? I mean, are you guys at Wickster? Do you, when you say you're friends and you know these guys, I mean, does that mean go to Norway? Do you have to develop a relationship in which you are questioning everything that they say when it comes to?
Well, I mean, I've never been to Norway, but but yeah, I mean, we trust these people that we are doing business with, and we have, and we like so much so that we're able to find a better pulse on the fishing community, and that's not just in Norway; it's all across the world. You know, taste really tells, texture really tells too. On a frozen piece of fish, like I said before, it's fresher than fresh.
How can you tell the difference? You could tell from the texture of a frozen piece of fish?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's been thawed out properly and safely. Not only by texture, but by flavor. And you know how sometimes you can smell the fish? Odds are that if you can smell it, then it's been sitting out for a little bit too long, or it may be just got delivered a little bit later in the week. A lot of the quote-unquote fresh fish that we're seeing in Chicago could be, when it hits your plate or even hits the door of a kitchen, 7 to 10 days old, you know, with intentionally deep freezing and vacuum sealing. We're able to guarantee,
extend it, yeah.
Yeah, extend that life of that
interesting
fish,
you know, the afterlife of the fish.
Well, but afterlife of the fish. But yeah, we're talking, you know, like, It's mind-boggling to see.
Yeah, that it really is. Isn't
we
it?
Can we have been unfortunate enough to see some poor fish come into Chicago because we're not a coastal town,
right?
But with deep freezing, intentional deep freezing, and sourcing directly from trusted people, and even knowing what goes into their feed and like where the farm is, like in a fjord in Norway.
That's amazing.
It's beautiful. It's
Nick
beautiful
Simon thing. Is the sales director at Wickster Market in Wicker Park, 2110 West Division.
That's right.
Okay, so I want to talk trust and transparency, and then I want to get to canning and tinning, which is a big part of what you have at the market. The trust and transparency, we talked about that. It is interesting to go to your website and be able to read the stories from these different countries and how they operate and how you're being very transparent about how you operate to be able to get the product to the store. I'm interested because we saw this as a big issue in fish and in seafood in the last couple decades, mislabeling, where people have come through and they've said, yeah, this is, no, it's Chilean sea bass. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And it's not Chilean. It's not. I mean, how, has it just come down to trusting your purveyor or your partners in this, the people in Norway or Vietnam or Ecuador as some of the places that they're not mislabeling the fish? Or are there tests and ways that you can make sure that what you're getting is actually what you ordered?
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky in the fact that because of our relationships that have been going on for decades with the same either farmers, producers, fishermen. Like, for example, our mahi-mahi is literally line caught in Ecuador, not just like picked up with a giant net or scraping on the ocean floor or anything. It's like caught by hook and line. You don't see that type of transparency with every piece of fish that you're going to get. But one of the main things that I think Wickster Market is very strongly for is being sure that you can trace every single pound of fish that comes through Wickster's doors and that goes out of it too, based on our distribution now.
Do you as a business, as a market, you know, obviously to go to the extra lengths to make sure that you have line caught fish, that you have these relationship with higher end fisheries around the country, how do you keep the price point down? Or how do you keep it competitive so that it doesn't just become a specialty shop where I go in if I really want mahi-mahi because it's New Year's Eve and I want to eat here, instead of going to what I would assume to be competitors, even in the more high-end grocery stores like Whole Foods and other places that can offer the same kind of product but do it at a lower price point?
Well, that's the beauty of intentionally deep freezing, right? So we catch when the fishing's good. Like at least with our wild caught stuff. So again, like that mahi-mahi you're talking about. When the stars align and we're able to catch a really nice catch of mahi-mahi that day or that week or that month, we're able to take those nice fillet portions and vacuum seal them, deep freeze them, essentially freezing them in time and locking a price. So that's one major advantage I have in terms of selling out to restaurants and bars and everything. I can give that chef, I can give that kitchen at back of house a stable price for a protein on their menu for up to a year. That is something I think you just don't ever see in the fresh game.
Right.
Aside from the fact that, like I said, we don't live in a coastal town.
Right.
And you want to get as good of product as you possibly can. And we have it. That's a huge advantage for me.
All right. The last thing we talk about, which is amazing to me, and that's a big part of how this was pitched in the first place, was about tinning or canning. The idea that I grew up with a father who loved his, I don't know, it wasn't anchovies, it was probably sardines in a can, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I other friends who may still get into that business, and we, of course, know about tuna and other things that are in cans. But again, the overall consumer thought on that kind of product is that it is something that was processed, pushed in, canned real quick for $1.79 and put at the bottom shelf, and you're not necessarily getting the best part of the tuna. But it's okay because I put a lot of mayonnaise in it and it'll work out, right? but in this case, tinning and canning and tinning specifically has become the new trend in seafood. Talk about this, because I'm holding in my hand trout fillets and pickled sauce. I also got a spiced calamari. Mm-hmm. I mean, there seems to be a more boutique level approach to canning and tinning in seafood right now that we haven't seen before.
Right. Well, it's not just entirely boutique level. It's extremely gourmet, right? But it's also something that is for the working man, right? Or working woman or anybody, that because the things that go into these tins are not just there by accident. They're usually incredibly native ingredients. So, like you said, you held up. Yeah.
I got a spiced calamari and a trout fillet.
Trout over there. I think there's some from La Brujula as well, from Spain. The ones you have right now are from Jose Gourmet out in Portugal.
Wow.
But yeah, that's a little gem. Those jewels, they're so precious, amazing, in there. But yeah, they're all native ingredients, even down to the olive oil itself. So you have fish that is growing growing in the oceans out there, and it's, they're eating it because it's there for them. It's in abundance, and you don't want to waste that. You want to treasure the things that you have natively and make them the best that you possibly can.
Is this something we're going to see more and more in grocery stores, this idea of tins or high-end gourmet tinning and canning next to our bumblebee tuna that we're so used to?
Might be on a different shelf. but yeah, like I'm hoping to see a lot more of these tins. We're already seeing a big influx in tins for on-premise, like in restaurants and bars. One of them in particular, Falstrom's Fresh Fish Market up on Belmont in Lakeview. They've been a huge, huge supporter of us. And they're like the first ones in this city to really grasp onto the notion of a lot of these tins. Like they carry about 25, 30 tins on a custom-built shelving unit built by a local artist. And this is the type of this is the type of market that I think can really hit a bunch of people. It's new, it's fun, it's exciting,
and it's simple. I would say, I mean, how do you make sure that in that case that this stuff is at the same level that we just talked about the other stuff, the fillets, the mahi mahi, mm-hmm. that you're not just that this stuff is not being doused in and something that may be called olive oil, but it's not olive oil specifically.
Yeah, it's extra virgin olive oil. Good stuff. And it's, you know, when my boss Matt Mixter, the owner of Wixter Market, when he said that they tried probably over 60 different brands while they were searching for the right ones to bring into this into the U.S. Wickster Market is actually the exclusive importer of both those brands that you have in your hands, the Jose Gourmet and La Brujula. You don't find this level of caliber of quality of these types of tinned fish.
You and don't
it's
find
a new,
it
new idea.
You know, it's amazing too, because it's not just that you don't find it in the world, you don't find it in Chicago. So
right.
For what you guys are doing in Wicker Park, it's bringing something new to the city, and that's awesome. Nick Simon is the sales director at Wickster Market, which is at 2110 West Division in Wicker Park, talking about fresh frozen seafood and tinning and canning, the new trend of 2018. Nick, thanks for being here. Appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you.